Hi, this is Sean Reynolds. You're listening to The Dollar Bin. I really hope my mom's not listening to this.
I guess I'll get it started. I promised I'd start this way. This is how I'll start. Brian, I'm going to wait a week until actual concession of the bet, but it's looking like I'm going to have to provide you with one fine pizza, sir.
And I would like sausage and mushrooms on that pie.
Shocker!
Sausage and mushrooms. Got that. That'll be anchovies and pineapple.
Pralines. Sausage and mushrooms.
But yeah, Hellboy just didn't open up to what I thought it was going to open up to. And it's with Batman coming out and some of the other stuff that's coming out, it's just not going to have the kind of legs it's going to take to even get up to half.
So in return, this week's topic, we will discuss the Hellboy movie and we will get everybody excited to get them to go out and see it so Trey can still have a glimmer of hope of losing with dignity.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I thought as the you movie said was before. Pretty. Visually, it was stunning.
There are lots of things to like about that movie. There's a lot to like about that movie. Now, if you could just please tell that to 50,000 of your friends.
It's going to be more than that, man.
Never underestimate the power of Big Willie.
But, you know, is this really a reflection on Hancock, or is this a reflection on
Will Smith?
Will Smith.
In the power of Scientology.
Wait, what?
He's still flatly denying that.
He's denying it.
And anybody that joins that cult usually, generally speaking, opens up and says, hey, I love me some Scientology.
I think they have
Well, you know, because the implant kicks in and releases I love Scientology. Wait, I want a hamburger.
Well, since Devin's not here, we can diss Scientology, can't we?
Yeah.
Without him freaking out and crying.
I've been to the Church of Scientology in New York. I watched one of their movies. They're scary.
Yes, they're scary.
I'm glad that's how you finished that.
Very scary. No. They're very, like, seriously. Like,
I'm glad that story had an happy ending.
And do sessions, and I had to like run away screaming.
And it'll only cost you $19.95 for the first 5 minutes, and every minute after that is $32,000.
Running down Fifth Avenue.
The first session's free.
Of course.
Well, it's like L. Ron Hubbard.
The Dianetics book in their hand.
Yeah. It's like L. Ron Hubbard sat down and said to himself, I've got to come up with an idea that's crazier than a zombie Jewish carpenter that died for our sins and came back and saved us all. So how about this? How about an alien in a volcano? Will that work?
He just wants to make money.
I was kind of paying attention there. Did you say a zombie Jewish carpenter?
Yes, I did.
I don't think I've ever heard Jesus be described like that.
Good thing Devin also doesn't listen to the show when he's not on it.
So anyway, looks like Brian's going to win the bet.
I'm going to give it one more week before I make total concession.
What was the actual bet? That it would beat it or double it?
I said it would double it. And right now it's like quadrupling it.
Yeah.
It's like 165 million to 33.
You said globally.
Wait for international sales to come in.
I don't think that Hellboy's going to go over that big in Russia, man.
People all over the world love the Fresh Prince.
You never can tell them.
That is true.
And again, with the first Hellboy movie, it didn't make any bones at all until it got a DVD. It was ignored.
And that's what I thought was gonna play into it this time around. I thought that the people who liked it on DVD.
Next year sometime when Brian gets his pizza.
No, we said theater. We said theater revenues. And I'm just going off of IMDb. So.
I don't think Hancock DVD sales are going to do that well. But I still think it's going to double the Hellboy 2 DVD sales.
Oh,
no. With us today, we do not have Devin.
Thank God. I mean, that's too bad.
He will be missed.
Should I do a Devin impersonation?
Yes. Yes, you should.
All you've got to do is every now and again just kind of go.
And then
totally
say, I didn't think it was that bad. Can I read your copy?
Yeah, can I borrow that?
I can do that.
We do have Trey, Brian, and Adam.
Yay.
And we have Jack.
Hello.
Yay again.
Everybody is occasionally heard in the background.
That's an incredible introduction, isn't it?
That person that we've maybe heard from before. And
did the Yankees hire you to do the intros for the All-Star game tomorrow night?
The thing anybody would remember me from is the...
The Punisher movie commentary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because usually he's talking into somebody else's mic over somebody's shoulder from a distance, and you can't hear a word he says.
And really? It gets cut out.
Yeah. Yeah, it tends to get cut a lot.
Oh.
A lot of what Jack says tends to get cut. But Jack is here, he has his own mic, and he's going to throw down.
And I actually, since none of you out there can see me, I'm like, I'm in a quorum. I feel like I'm in a drumhead trial. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know exactly what I've done.
answered the question, sir. Oh my God, you can't handle the truth.
Boy, our seating is kind of arranged all around Jack. I feel like he should have a big turkey leg in his hand and be yelling, you know, off of their head.
I can crunch some more chips.
Or like a podium or something. You need a podium.
I am.
Make this quick. The dogs are playing Tennessee.
And in the other corner, going up against Jack this evening, we have another special guest who is of the female persuasion.
Will this be the first time a girl has joined?
I thought you said Devin wasn't here.
Exactly. Oh. I was just thinking that.
Oh.
Oh. Zing!
I can't rip on Devin. I've only been in the room with Devin like twice.
Sean, would you like to introduce? We've spoken of Sean before on the show.
She's been on the show, interviewed.
And she has been interviewed before. Would you like to tell everybody who you are again?
Sure. I'm Sean Reynolds. I'm the store manager at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Or up in Charlotte, I guess, since I'm in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not only do we have a female on the show, but she is legitimate.
Right.
I don't know how to respond. No offense.
She's legitimately
no offense
into comics.
To our other female
guests.
That's
saying nothing about anybody's parentage, sir.
That's correct. Legitimately into comics.
I am, actually.
She is.
Sorry, Rochelle. I guess you're an illegitimate dad.
No, the point of it is...
And what's your friend who was on the show at Acme?
That's who I was referring to.
Desi, sorry. Apparently, you were illegitimate dad.
We got a lot of heat for that, man.
Desi was just scared. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
It's such a welcoming environment.
At that point, there was like eight of us, too. In a comic shop. All probably smelling bad,
yep.
According to Jack.
No soap.
Oh, but, and that's our show. Good
night. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that's special about Sean being here.
What?
We're not discussing a topic that we need a girl's point of view for, either.
You're saying her slot could be filled by anybody.
That's what
she's just...
kind of like street cred and insults at the same time.
Like you talking about my slot like that?
Yes. Yes.
Trey is apparently more comfortable around Sean than he was with the last show we did with Rochelle as well.
Yeah, man. Well, Rochelle was just... Sean, I'm sorry I got to say this.
Rochelle was just too sweet
and nice. The last couple of times I've seen Sean, she was angry and mean, and then the other time, kind of drunk.
Or both at the same time. I don't know.
Nice to meet you, Sean.
Yeah, apparently every time I see these guys, I'm either like wanting to like stab somebody or I'm kind of intoxicated.
And we hope that neither of those is because of us.
No.
And we hope neither of those is this evening.
Although she did, at the after party for the convention, she did sit down at the table and order us to stop talking about wrestling.
I did. I hadn't been drinking then.
That was just flat out beating.
That was just me being a jerk. So back to this, I'm not sweet. I'm kind of a little mad. Right
I think
now.
You're sweet.
No,
I
think
in 15 minutes. So, you know.
Do you want to take this outside?
Is it because you'd met Sean before but had not actually met Rochelle?
No, wait, it's that Rochelle, it seemed like anything you could say around Rochelle might break her.
Listen,
is what I'm getting
Sean
at.
I can hold my own.
As well as she can get.
That's what I've heard.
We've been instructed not to talk about that anymore.
So you've also read her blog on MySpace.
Oh.
No, but I'm going to go home and do it right now.
Oh, I think the easy way to explain this is Rochelle is Canadian. Sean is American. Yeah. Obviously, he'd be more comfortable with our own species.
There we are.
And she is from the Queen City.
From where?
I'm from Charlotte.
You're
from Charlotte? There you go.
So, Sean, where is Heroes Aren't Hard to Find located in Charlotte?
It's on 7th Street, the corner of 7th and Pecan, towards uptown, but not quite.
Okay.
So with the giant Dr. Octopus in it and the giant Spider-Man shooting a web.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of wood in that store.
I wouldn't know.
Zing!
Dear God.
Yay! We get to keep the dick jokes. We get to keep the dick jokes.
I'm a fan of dick jokes, apparently. You guys don't have to clean up for me.
I know. That's what I said. This is nice. It's nice.
I don't think we're capable of it.
Okay.
They tried really hard the first show they did with Rochelle, though.
Oh, man.
When we met her in person, it was pretty much like, immediately
Trey
whatever
said, like,
came
six
out of
words
mouth.
That whole show.
I thought my head was going to explode, man. I was trying so hard to be good. And she's just so sweet and yet.
Let's not like, insult Canada.
Right. It's like, yeah, it was like if I said darn, she might go, this interview's over, click, you know. I appreciate that you can handle that.
Oh, yeah, I can handle it.
Okay.
I think Rochelle can handle it, too, man.
Well, now I know that, but...
In person, it's a lot harder to be tactful for us. So in person, we just kind of said whatever we felt like saying to her and realized that Rochelle was cooler than you get from just reading somebody's blog or talking to them on the phone.
You don't think we're tactful?
No, which one is Rochelle?
Us.
Rochelle does the Living Between Wednesdays blog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it has comic book hunks and all that good stuff.
Oh, and by the way, congratulations on her wedding.
Yes.
Our present to use in the mail.
We got 1 year, man. You have 1 year to get a wedding present in. We're good.
I hope you really needed Mylar comic bag.
And a signed copy of the Southland Tales graphic novel.
In one
Speaking of,
those Mylar bags.
Brian.
I can't.
Brian.
Yes.
Do you have a thing for this week? A giveaway? A contest of sorts?
Yes. When I was speaking to Matt Wagner, as I name drop, at Heroes Con, he did a free sketch for me, and his only request is that I go spend some money at the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund table.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I picked up at the table was an autographed copy of the first Southland Tales graphic novel from Richard Kelly and art by Brent.
Are you reading
something
that
or another?
Book?
Brent something or another.
And it's signed by both of them, and of course Richard Kelly is the Donnie Darko guy.
So was he at Heroes Con?
Who also, no. Oh. This is just at the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund table. That's the Donnie Darko guy, wrote and direct that, wrote and direct Southland Tales, which three people saw. Me and the rest of the Rocks family.
Rock only has two people in his family?
Well, only two that were talking to him at that time.
Is that Brett Weldell?
That looks,
if you
say
so.
Weldell?
Sure. I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't particularly enjoy Southland Tales, so I didn't buy that to keep it. And I've
Wanted
never
to give it to one of you schmoes.
I figured you're all nerds.
That's a shining endorsement. For
so
that book.
Somebody probably saw Donnie Darko and liked it. Having never seen that, I don't know what to ask
you. I like
Donnie
Darko.
About Donnie Darko.
We've already talked about this before.
And the first person to post and answer that trivia question wins the glorious prize.
Let's do a haiku.
A haiku. The best, the haiku that most adequately describes Donnie Darko.
You realize you're going to make me watch a movie I don't want to see to get a comic book that I don't want just so I can write a haiku.
The good news is, I'm willing to bet you may be the only one that even tries.
Well, I'm going to have to look it up before I do. How many syllables?
Unfortunately.
Because of how hard this contest will be, there's no...
So you're saying anybody?
Yeah, anybody can do this. Even if you've previously won the last couple of weeks. Because it's now the Mount Everest of our contest. Anyone can enter. Tell your friends.
I really want to read
you. You can enter more than once.
My guess is, however... that many people out there have at least seen the movie, even if they don't want to go back and watch it again, and can at least write something.
Sure.
Yeah.
And comment on the comment section for this particular show, which you are listening to, and Brian's in charge of the rest.
Yeah, including grading papers, apparently.
Sorry, Brian.
I got a good transition.
To go into reviewing books?
Cats? Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
This is a good one. You ready?
Okay, go.
What'd you read this week?
I'm going to go with... Let me just say...
Okay, Trey, what did you read?
I didn't think it was a trick question.
I mention Young Liars every time it comes out.
Yes.
Because I fucking love that book.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. In this issue, a dude's junk gets cut off, and I just would like to go 6 months without reading a book where some dude's junk does not get...
What kind of books are you reading?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I mean, like, we're losing stuff, and I mean, look.
Don't get too close to his junk.
We're looking, I mean, Walking Dead, junk gets cut off.
Yeah.
Okay. Triple X Zombies.
Junk gets cut off.
Eaten off by a zombie.
Oh.
That's a bad way to have the junk go. And you got zombie junk.
And now Young Liars, which is an awesome book still. When I hit that scene, I actually just stopped. I couldn't. I don't even think I took a breath for 3 minutes. It was just very awkward.
Because normally when you see someone get their junk bitten off, it totally fits what's going on.
Wait a minute. Well, however, I mean, how is
out of the ordinary.
Oh, geez, no.
How is the fella separated from his junk in this book?
A knife.
A knife?
Oh, yeah. God, by a midget.
Oh, God.
A midget?
Yes.
I was going to say, it sounds pretty awesome to me. I don't get the problem.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
And then he's being sensitive.
And then he's just, like, laying on the bed bleeding out for, like, he's in the background of, like, the rest of the book just bleeding out.
Just bleeding.
On this
Dude,
bed.
You don't do that to somebody's junk.
I'm saying. I realize this.
Where were you when Lorena Bobbitt needed to hear it?
I would like to, the book I would like to actually go into and talk about and mention.
Okay.
Is, there's a new Wolfskin. Wolfskin was a book that Warren Ellis did over the course of like 2 years, a couple years ago.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Wait, Warren Ellis taking longer than normal produce a book.
Three-issue miniseries over the course of 2 years.
It was 3 issues. It took 2 years to come out.
Wait a second. Is it 3 of 3 or is it like 3 or 4?
No, it was. I don't think they ever said how many, but I think he might have wrapped it up on the third one.
Okay.
But
not
it does
to say
end.
That I have any lingering resentment against Warren Ellis.
But
if you're listening, you're a jackass.
Recently, however,
not that anybody's bitter about Planetary.
The script is in Cassidy's hands, man. Cassidy's on it.
And
I'll believe it.
And I also expect Astonishing X-Men to come out on time, too.
Yeah. So anyway, he released a Wolfskin just one-shot annual. So I think he's just kind of switched to that. Because I think he still wants to continue to tell the story.
Well, of course he does.
Just had his own...
Till the end of time!
Just had his own whenever I fucking get around to it pace.
This is still...
He's got a lot of Twittering to do.
He does have a lot of Twittering
to do.
He's
got a lot of stuff going on.
The only man who Twitters more than Ellis is Ben Temple Smith. That guy's an awesome Twitterer.
That's what she said.
It just sounds dirty when you say it.
And again, we're straying into an uncomfortable area for everyone except Adam.
I did enjoy Wolfskin. If anybody was reading that 3-issue series, I don't know if the miniseries, I don't know how that gets. But anyway.
I think it was you and Warren Ellis's mom. That's pretty much
Waco
it.
Read it?
That's why he finished
Waco.
It.
Warren, when are you going to finish that? That was my favorite.
Anyway.
Mom, okay, I got to finish the last issue of Planetary.
If anybody read it, there's another issue out. It's a standalone little one-shot continuing this guy's little journey through life. And I enjoyed it. I like the art on it, too.
I enjoy one of the crown
I enjoy Wolfskin.
Wing things on the side.
That's what she said?
Are we doing that's what she said?
Yes, sorry.
Brian does it.
I'm sorry.
John does it, so.
I do it all the time.
We're getting a double dose of.
That's what she said.
We're getting a
while
double.
Watching movies, apparently.
Trey?
Yes, sir.
What did Brian read?
You know what? I'm going to let Brian talk about his books because he told me before we started recording that he had nothing bad to say about any of the books he read this month.
Not at all. He's got a stack, that. Man. That's a stack.
I lied. It's all trying to get them in a false sense of security. No, actually, I bought standard 40 or so bucks worth of comics.
That's insane because I had an incredibly small week.
Yeah.
That's what
she said.
All right, seriously. It's all good.
And I pretty much liked everything that I bought. Obviously, everything wasn't spectacular, but I got a book called I Kill Giants.
I bought that.
I actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I picked it up. I mean, I kind of like Joe Kelly.
Yeah, that's...
But obviously, this is not like anything I've ever read from Joe Kelly before. I thought it was cute, though.
Yeah, and I think it very well portrays the creepiness of gamers. Because there's like a whole Dungeons & Dragons thing going on in there.
Oh,
and comic book nerds picking on the
gamers. Are you getting involved
gamers?
In the geek on geek hate, man?
Yeah.
I mean...
Everybody's...
Stop geek on geek violence.
Can't we all just get along?
We have a listener out there who hates when I make fun of gamers. I love it.
I also read something.
Dorks.
That was written by Jay Farber.
Mm-hmm.
That is some sort of contest they're doing on MySpace.
They're doing Top Cow's doing a big contest.
Where they're printing out comics and you get to vote on which lasts, I guess.
Yeah, I've read two of those so far.
This is the only one I've read so far. I've seen the ads on MySpace. It's Urban Myths. I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Wait a minute. You get to vote one. On...
Yeah. Like, if you go to the MySpace page, you get to decide what gets published
let me see.
From their submissions.
Let me see.
I'm the only one, I think, reading the Last Defender series.
What's that?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty good.
What
pretty
is
entertaining.
It? What is
Everybody
it?
Read
what
Mark
is it?
Function's book.
Yes.
Like it still?
Yes.
When you say Last Defender, do you mean Defender, like Marvel Defender?
Yes.
In reading that last issue, I thought of a question that I probably should have asked them when I
during our non-interview with Matt Fraction.
And that was basically how did he, you know, where did he get his portrayal of Pepper Potts, really? Because there
Is she Oracle all of a sudden?
There has been comment as to her personality and her ability. And I was kind of curious where he decided to care, how he decided to characterize her that way.
I blame the cupcakes. Anybody read Secret Invasion?
Read Secret Invasion.
I did.
What'd you guys think?
Thought that the best thing about it was the last two panels.
Yeah, nothing really happened.
Not a lot happened, and I've been pushing for, well, pushing, because, you know, I call my boys up at Marvel offices and say this is what you ought to do, but I've been hoping America, that is to say the new Captain America, mm-hmm. would have some kind of presence in this series.
Well, we knew he would. It was said that he would show up eventually.
I'm happy to see that it's finally happening, mm-hmm. even if it's only for two panels, and the way those two panels set up, it's him looking through binoculars and then springing into action. So I'm hoping Captain America just gets to do some cool badass shit next month.
I hope he just keeps looking at stuff going on through binoculars.
Yeah, maybe we'll just watch it all.
Stand up on the rooftop. Man,
that looks like that hurt.
You see that shit right there?
Every three pages, it's just a shot, a frame of binoculars.
Damn, I wish I had a beer.
Binoculars, he's eating a ham sandwich.
That leg came right off.
Jesus. Yeah, a lot of nothing happened in that, but it wasn't bad still.
No, it was fun. It was very fun nothing. Yeah. You know? That much of scroll busting going on.
Well, the one thing that when I was looking through it, that I pointed out to somebody who I know who's sitting next to me, was one of the funny things I enjoyed in there.
That would be me.
Was when Black Widow turns and like shoots Wolverine, and she's like shooting first, asking questions.
Yeah,
later.
That was nice. Like, that was nice stuff.
You know. But, well, so, I mean, if the Skrull was mimicking Wolverine, wouldn't does the Skrull have the healing factor?
Yeah. I would imagine that if a Skrull can shape its body into any form that it wants, it can shape itself into a healthy Skrull.
But he doesn't know. That's why he had to answer the secret word.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Oh, I don't know.
Adam, don't we have an interview with Jason Aaron on the site now?
Yes.
He do a comic this week?
Yes, he did.
What did you think of it?
It was okay.
I thought it was better than we're talking about the Joker's Asylum.
The
miniseries that DC's trying to
And that's one thing that I'd mentioned last week was how I was disappointed I was gonna have to buy another one of those because I didn't really like the first one nor the concept, and Jason Aaron was writing the second one, so I had to buy it.
And who's writing the next one?
I don't remember. Somebody I don't care about.
That's not nice at all.
You don't care about JT Kroll?
No.
He's not coming to your next picnic. I thought it was all right. I thought it was better than the Joker.
No, it definitely was. It didn't feel very Jason Aaron though. As far as like other things,
I've never felt him before. So I don't really know. I don't know that I've read anything with him before.
Is he smooth? Does he moisturize?
The most exposure I've had to Jason Aaron was you, Devin, and Rochelle triple teaming him at Heroes Con.
Whoa!
What?
Chris was there too.
Really, so it was a full-on gangbang.
It's also the only
and Matt Fraction.
Matt Fraction and Cliff.
That's a nice little.
Cliff Chang stopped by.
Event, you guys. Move from threesome to full-out party.
However, that was also the only edited interview I posted from Heroes Con.
Which I like your comment to make us not sound like idiots or something. Like even your editing can do that.
Sean, would you like to talk about any books that you read this past week?
Oh, what's
or did that? Or did Brian already? I know, but you've talked about six.
Bring
let's see. I know.
With me.
I know Sean read
out.
Secret Invasion, and Brian took that one.
I'd be happy to tag team this
week.
I just finished the newest trade on Fables today.
Oh, so you're not all caught up then?
Nope, and I was so happy with the way that trade ended.
Fables is awesome.
What's that? Who?
Fables.
Oh, Fables is so good.
I finally got to read my Crossing Midnight. That was delayed due to Canadian shipping. Hey.
I did read Captain America White.
Yeah, bring it on. Hey, bring it. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. Yeah. I love Tim Sale. I love Jeff Loeb.
Adam's being very complainy.
I'm not complaining.
Tim Sale's artwork. What do you
really?
Think?
What? I love Tim Sale.
I love Tim Sale too, but I don't think that the art in this book is as good as I've seen Tim Sale do.
I will say that the more Tim Sale I've seen a progression of Tim Sale moving towards the Darwin Cook. And in this book, it was impossible not to think about Darwin Cook as I was looking at his art.
I guess I'm saying is I didn't view a wide distinction between the two of them before.
I didn't view a wide distinction, but I thought that they were recognizable for their own styles. Mm-hmm. And I think this is blending a little more. Not to mention, I thought some of the panels were kind of weak.
Those right there, awesome Darwin panels. Cook could have drawn that.
But
yeah, but again, I don't know that I've ever not thought that they were very similar anyway.
I mean, compared to the other color book art, I thought that the art on this one wasn't up to the standards of what I've seen.
I didn't think that it was colored as well as some of his other stuff. But this
which could very well be it.
This is also just Marvel ripping us off for a little preview.
It is. Yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you one thing. I was really happy about this. I mean, I realize it's a number zero, but it's still a Captain America white book. I don't care how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And no ads in it. Same price. $2.99. Yeah. No ads.
You know what? I wish that they would just release it in a trade.
But it's a pamphlet.
I've never read any of these in the pamphlets. I've always read them in trades. So that might be affecting us.
I've read all of the Sale Loeb stuff like that in a trade.
Yeah.
I wish I would just wait for it.
I liked it. I'm going to wind up.
I liked it too.
The funny thing is, I do like Dave Stewart, and Dave Stewart did the coloring in this.
He was great on the Eurythmics.
Yeah. That's right.
Right. One thing I will say, one more thing about the Captain America, is that we called this on the show months ago. When we said what we wanted Jeff Loeb to do for Marvel, we said we want them to get Tim Sale and have them do Captain America book.
Mm-hmm.
We got it.
And hey. About time you fucking listen to me.
I'm just saying.
You owe me a quarter.
Do not underestimate the power of the Ben.
So, Trey.
Yeah.
Final Crisis actually released something that didn't make you want to claw your eyes out this week?
They did. Well, I mean, the first two didn't make me want to claw my eyes out, but I'm steeped enough in that continuity to mostly understand what's going on. This week was Final Crisis Requiem.
Requiem?
Requiem?
Final Crisis Requiem.
With the webs? What do you whisper?
Still, we beloved.
We are gallant here.
Love and marriage.
Love.
True love. Final Crisis Requiem features the death of the Martian Manhunter.
I thought he already died.
And,
I thought he already died.
Well, stick with me for a minute. Stick with me for a minute here. DC's been doing this thing that I'm not a big fan of. They've been recycling panels book to book. All right, so one writer does dialogue and they have art for a certain event that takes place, and then that dialogue and art will be straight up lifted and used in another book that will expand on that scene more. Okay? I've hated it up to now. It's what they do in Final Crisis Requiem. They lift the scenes from Final Crisis number one, is it?
Yeah, when he dies.
When Martian Manhunter dies, they lift that.
The two-panel death they give him in the first book of the series.
Right. Well, and that death, to my mind, was given just such short shrift. Haha, say that three times fast. And they actually kind of flesh it out a little bit and talk about the real ramifications and people actually care in this book that John Jones is dead rather than, you know, in the first book where it just kind of happens and it's grossly out of context with anything else that's going on in the story. The art is solid. That art is by Doug Mankey. And
who did the Fantastic Black Adam miniseries.
I like when Brian says it. Who did the art on that one?
And it's sharp dialogue from Peter J. Tomasi.
So it's not
which is also the writer of that kick-ass Black Adam miniseries.
And it's
Linky Dink?
It's whole.
I think not, sir.
I think not.
Okay, hold on. So it's not Morrison J. G. Jones?
Absolutely not. You know how you can tell?
Because
it makes sense.
Because I liked reading it.
So that's a Final Crisis one-shot?
Yes.
It is a one-shot. Yep. Oh. How much you want to bet we're going to get about a dozen more of these before Final Crisis is over?
And I just don't understand Ambush Bug and the rest of the DC editorial staff right now.
So it's a Tomasi book.
Yep.
It's a solid one.
I don't understand why you released this a couple of months after the first issue when
you died.
It was
Final Crisis. I just kind of ignored it. I heard those names.
I mean, it's a really good book. Yeah. It's the only good Final Crisis book I've read so far. Yeah. You know, we were picking last week on the Where Were You When ads that DC is doing.
Right.
This actually made his death mean something.
Yeah. It felt
Why
like
wouldn't
an event.
You want it to mean something when you actually kill him instead of 3 months later? Fuck DC and their crossover. I mean, really.
Except for Jonah Hex.
Even when they do this right, they're still doing it incorrectly. Because it's 3 or 4 months after the issue drop.
Can I say it?
Yeah, sure.
I want to read it.
They're just dragging it out, making sure you remember about
making sure to get every dime you have, $2.99 out of pop.
If it wouldn't have been those two guys on it, I wouldn't have even bothered lifting it off the shelf.
I didn't even notice. I thought it was just a continuation.
Nope.
Of the Morrison Jones.
Nope. Well, it is pretty good. I'm sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, there was a scene in there where I imagine the Egyptians are gonna be pissed, like, oh, we're just gonna steal this entire freaking pyramid.
Right.
Pardon you weren't using it for nothing.
Pardon us while we borrow this pyramid.
Also, they make this old comic book mistake they used to make back in the days where apparently that whole giant pyramid, you know, instead of being composed of like 4 million actual stones.
It's a solid piece.
Yeah, it's just one solid thing.
And maybe, I don't know, what's the current explanation for Superman's powers? Does he actually, you know, generate his super bullshit field where anything he picks up is automatically...
What does Brian Singer have to do with this?
Oh, zing.
Apparently that just killed the show.
That's right. Oh, he's picking up Brian Singer. All right. I also read Justice Society. I throw this book, Love, every time it comes out, and I got to throw it some more. It's still really cool.
So liking the Magoogagoog?
I'm liking the Magoogagoogagoog.
See, I stopped it because I wasn't digging the Magoog.
Well, Mr. Magoog is still doing good things. Some big things going on here. Starman has been uncrazified in the book.
Really?
Yep, that Mr. Magoo made him sane.
And he's doing the whole evil guy fixes the heroes thing.
Yep, and he's getting ready to go.
Sticking with that, huh?
Well, he makes him... Now, this is kind of fucked up, all right? He's doing nice things for all the members of the Justice Society, right? So what does he do? Damage has this nasty, horrible, right. Scarfied face. He makes his face right.
Now he's all pretty.
Kill him!
Starman is insane. Can't put a good thought together. He makes him sane. Restructures his brain so that he's sane
still
again.
Sloppy Joe's.
And what does he do for Sandman? He gives him a good night's sleep.
Oh,
that's his one thing that he does is he lets him go to sleep. I know if I get one wish, I want more than a night's sleep. Just saying.
So, not only is
Adam's one wish was wherever he sent Power Girl was his house.
Kitty Pride. Let Kitty Pride out of the bullet.
Please let Kitty Pride out.
I don't
of the
care
bullet.
If it was Josh Whedon. I think Justice Society is still a good read. My thought process, as we get back on track, my thought process is, I think it's going to the same place that all of those go. If he throws me a curveball somewhere, then super. Right now, it just looks like they're painting it by the numbers and throwing Alex Ross's name on it. And fucks Alex.
Maybe
fuck
I'm
Alex
old and jaded like Adam is, but...
Jaded and shit.
Yeah, I'm jaded and shit like Adam.
But what I'm saying is there's only really about
all like
20 comic
shit.
Book stories that have been told over and over and over again anyway. I'm just kind of along for the ride to enjoy it. So that's all I got.
All right, well.
So did anybody see Hellboy?
I did.
Hell what?
I did. What?
Hellboy.
What about Brad and Angelina's kids?
Apparently, according to Hancock numbers, no.
Oh.
Burn.
Ouch.
That's a rash forming there.
It's a little show continuity from this same show.
Not only from previous weeks, but from today. You know, I wanted to like it a whole lot.
Hellboy 2,
but I just wasn't all that thrilled with it. I think it had a little bit of Star Wars Cantina syndrome, where there was just...
Hellboy should have shot first?
Well, he did. That's part of the
problem. He did a little bit too often.
They went way over the top with the action. There were too many things to look at in a lot of ways. They sucked anything that was subtle right out of the movie, and they managed to damage the character of Hellboy in some ways. Hellboy acted extremely out of character. In a couple of spots that I know, I was just kind of shaking my head going, "Grr, that doesn't make any sense," because these guys were committed to doing Mike Mignola's vision. They did a pretty damn good job the first time.
I mean, he was one of the writers on it, wasn't he? He was listed.
Well, he was listed. It's a story by Mike Mignola and...
JDT.
William the Bull.
Yes, William the Bull.
Guillermo del Toro.
And then the screenplay was written by del Toro, as well as the production design and the directing and... I'm pretty sure he was one of those little fat gremlin things walking around in the background. But actually, he did do, he was listed, he did all the creature voices.
Did he?
Yeah. I was watching.
And that was pretty Taco much Bell what they were, him going. I think he was just playing a tape recorder backwards.
Exactly. But yeah, there's a lot to like about that movie, you know, starting with the fact that they got to make it. And it was just so surprising that once they got to make it and got a slightly bigger budget, that's what they came up with.
When did the first movie come out? How many years ago was that?
I think it was 2005 or 6.
I mean, that was a ways, yeah.
And with a different production company.
Yeah.
You don't usually get sequels to jump production companies.
Yeah, they usually just do remakes.
Somebody at
or
Universal
something.
Must have loved them some Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, that and Hellboy has been, you know, in addition to being a very, you know, good-selling comic and a movie that where the first one just overproduced, the cartoon series apparently has been, like, lighting it up. People have been very happy with the cartoons.
Has anybody seen that?
No, I have not.
The cartoon?
I've seen the thing you showed me. It was like a preview trailer for it.
Yeah, for Sword of Storms.
Yeah, and it looked really good.
It was really good. And actually, that was voiced by Doug Jones for Abe Sapien on that one. They just went ahead and X'd out Niles entirely.
It was kind of a surprise to me that a movie like that, jump not only jumps production companies, but also jumps up about $25 million or so in production costs. I mean, I don't think it's going to make its production costs back.
Oh, it'll definitely make that production.
Yeah. That's $85 million, and it's only made 30 in its first week, and Batman's about
there are too many other ways to make movies, to make money off of that movie.
I mean, in the theater. Usually, if a movie's successful, it makes its production money back in the theater.
I think it'll make it back in the theater.
Because they advertise the hell out of this. So you're talking about millions and millions of dollars in advertising.
Well, they advertised it at all, which is something that they
ads were awesome, too. The ads were killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. You know, with the first movie, those guys were forced, because of a limited budget, to do little things to make the movie good that were glaringly absent from the second movie. There were little points of dialogue. Dialogue's cheapest part of producing a movie. And they were forced to...
Unless you're Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, there you go. So the dialogue was very sharp in the first movie, and they did little character development bits that were awesome, and that kind of nuance and subtlety was just, I don't want to say it was completely absent from the second movie, but you could tell that they were going to hang their dollars on a special effects budget that wound up being a lot less effective, I think. The special effects in that movie look, man, they just showed me nothing that I hadn't seen in another movie, and I'll throw a couple of examples your way. The little tooth fairies, very cool idea. Looked like they were straight out of Pan's Labyrinth. Looked like they were used on the template for the fairies out of Pan's Labyrinth.
Not to mention the spirit or whatever, the person they meet at the very end, who takes the blade out.
Yeah,
that's straight out of Pan's Labyrinth.
Hellboy's death.
Yeah, that's death. And
yeah, no death. Straight out of
Pan's Labyrinth. Right. When the giant is awakened so that they can go down into the spirit of death's player, not the spirit of death, but to where the golden army is. That looked like test footage for the Sandman out of Spider-Man 3. Looked exactly like it. You know, same thing. Half a face, you know, boulders falling off and sand falling off them. Looked exactly the same. The Golden Army itself, they were big, like, chubby gold robots, just like I saw in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, they were the thing straight out of the Fifth Element.
So it's like... The design seemed kind of derivative, I guess, and that was a little bit disappointing. Because there were so many great design things going on in Pan's Labyrinth, I expected to see more cool stuff I hadn't seen before. I wound up seeing a bunch of stuff that I'd seen precisely that. I've seen badass elves, you know, fighting, and I've seen vampiric-looking guys. Those elves, I've seen that before, doing cool, like, spear-fighting techniques and spinning their spears around and cutting people. I saw Star Wars Episode 1, and I know what Darth Maul did.
I did like the choreography a lot.
It was fun. And it was sharp.
I appreciate the fight choreography more than I appreciate CGI. At this point, the whole CGI technology thing has just kind of jumped the shark for me. If you're not actually doing it, if I'm watching a cartoon.
Was it a 3D shark?
I agree with you, but I think the thing about it is CGI, like fight choreography, like wire work, especially, which is, you know, just the nth ugly end of fight choreography, it has to take a backseat to the story. You put it in as much as is appropriate and no more. I think, you know, what'll happen is you get a guy like, what's his name, Darth Maul?
Ray Park.
And you say, well, we've got Ray Park signed on. Let's let Ray Park do Ray Park's thing. And the point of the matter is
we just say Ghostbusters over and over again.
you know, you don't let Ray Park do Ray Park's thing. You let Ray Park do what you tell him to do and hope he does it well. Luke Goss is the
elfin guy.
The bad elfin guy. And Luke Goss is a badass. But he's also a pop singer. Hey, if we're going to pay Luke Goss, why don't you have him sing a song, too?
That would have been awesome.
You know, it's just, you know, they're saying, well, let's get these guys and let's let them do their thing and squeeze as much as we can out of them. And it's like, no. As always, the story is the point. And when you lose sight of that, your movie suffers. And I would have thought that Del Toro would know that.
Yeah.
And know that deep down.
Maybe they gave him the bucks because they expected it to be pretty.
Well, and that might be a studio thing. The studio is like, well, look, you're going to make this thing, you know, you're going to squeeze as much of this as you can in. You're going to put every one of our dollars on the screen. You're going to make it count. And, you know, again, when you bow to that kind of pressure, you're going to suffer for it. With Pan's Labyrinth, which was his project, you know, wrote it, directed it, you know, was holding the camera and the flashlight at the same time.
He went,
all of that stuff that's on the screen is on the screen as much as necessary, and it's all used correctly. You know, when she puts that little baby root underneath the bed, and you see it kind of, you don't sit there and hold the camera on her 15 minutes while it gyrates. You do 5 seconds, you show that it's a creepy fucking thing, and then you move on, because that's where the story takes you.
I guess we're kind of saying the same thing, is that the movies that you notice the CGI not living
as soon
up
as you notice
is because
it,
that's what
done.
You're supposed to be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like all of the Star Wars prequels. Hey, look at all this crazy stuff I can do. Please ignore that there's no fucking story.
Exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
I can't direct people, so I do everything animated.
Everybody told me how great I was, so I tried to write dialogue, and I suck. Don't pay any attention to that. Watch as I take Oscar Award winners and turn them into stooges. Yeah.
Kasdan's dead now. I can do whatever I want.
Look, there's Samuel L. Jackson and Natalie Portman. I make them look like schmucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and in Hellboy 2... drawing back to the movie at hand. In Hellboy 2, the two biggest pops out of the crowd that I heard had nothing to do with any kind of special effects. It was when Hellboy and Abe Sapien wound up getting drunk and having this little funny. And it was hilarious. And it was all dialogue.
Yes.
And you know how much that cost to put on screen?
Nothing.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well,
it's all dialogue by the song master Barry Manilow. And of course people pop for
Come
that
on.
Shit. When he writes a song that make the whole world sing.
What do you think that song cost them? I'm saying. That may have been the most expensive
Manilow probably
thing.
Gave it to him for free.
Manilow, please.
He probably asked him, hey, you want Copacabana too? What about Mandy? Those are the only three Barry Manilow songs I know.
But yeah, it is very telling.
But I can sing all three of them.
I actually had somebody, the theater that I was in, kind of groaned a little during the drunk scene.
Oh, it was funny.
Which I loved.
Good times.
Well, and we were watching it in a very geek heavy, and I mean that in all senses of the word, you know, audience. Oh, you should have seen it. It was hilarious. Just this lion waddling through, you know, looking longingly at the popcorn. You want to get a good seat, but I'm so hungry. Why did I get so mean?
Yeah, you guys are really harsh on comic fans.
By the way, crowd that we saw a movie with, there's a guy there. I don't know if you're listening, but your comb over does not work with your ponytail.
I saw that guy.
I know, man. He was right in front of us.
Every time he dropped something, it orbited around him. I stole that joke from the Family Guy. I'm so sorry.
They probably stole it from somebody else.
There was there was a gentleman behind me during the locker fight scene. Who was like creepily cackle laughing way louder than anybody else. Like the whole theater was like, that's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was like,
well, that was
the Joker.
And he creeped me out a little.
Well, he
so
was just,
if you're
you
listening,
know,
you have a creepy laugh.
He was flashing back to the time that he got beat up in the locker room.
Yeah.
If only I had been an ectoplasmic entity, I could have beaten him up too. So anyway, yeah, I'm glad I saw it. It was probably 2/3 of the movie that it should have been. Every dollar is right up there on the screen. It's pretty as hell. I hope they get to do another one and do it right this time. And they need to fire Liz badly.
Oh, we're talking about Selma Blair. Selma.
Yeah, oh God, she was bad.
She's bad.
Yeah.
Well, she's got that.
Hellboy, I let the whole world burn for you because I love you. And I mean.
Well, she's got that Keanu Reeves kind of thing. Keanu Reeves kind of appeal.
Called Keanu on her.
Wow.
Well, that's
she
if Keanu Reeves
does.
Is cast in the part of an idiot, he's awesome.
if he's cast as anything else, he's terrible. And that's Selma Blair. If she's cast in the part of an idiot, she's awesome. I direct you to Cruel Intentions.
I guess that excuses my love.
Which is a great movie in which she plays an idiot, and she's awesome at playing an idiot because that's what she is.
Her bad acting.
Hey, how are you?
Her bad acting aside, I'm just disappointed that even that monster has a better looking girlfriend than I do. Is it the tail?
Oh, how about when he told the baby, here's a little tail for you?
Yeah.
And not to mention, that baby would have died being tossed around like that. That is shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah, you have to support the neck.
Yes.
It would just snap. And
how
baby
about the baby where he's like,
know.
Hey, you're tough. You know, you're a good kid. Yeah. He's like, I'm a tumor.
Yeah.
I was like, ah.
You can't throw a baby around like that.
Have you tried?
You can once.
I thought they were like cats. You could throw them around and land on their feet.
Well, you know, and so it was very appropriate. You know, we were all sympathizing with Hellboy. It's like, oh, look at that outcast Hellboy. He just threw that baby 500 feet in the air.
So he could reload his gun.
Why? Why? Why?
And shoot the spirit of the forest in the head.
Why didn't he take the baby and drop it off before climbing up the sign?
That's what I was kind of
wondering.
He
couldn't have been but 50 yards away from anybody.
Well, if you're going to throw it 100 feet in the air, why don't you throw it 100 feet to a cop or something?
Go long.
Well,
exactly.
He doesn't know the hands of the cop. You know,
that's right.
He could have had a perfect pass, and the guy's got a case of the dropsies.
Well, and, you know, there's just some stupid...
As Jack clutches his forehead.
You see, I didn't have these empty spots on my forehead before yesterday.
That's right.
No, the Tooth Fairies. Shooting Tooth Fairies with automatic weapons... There's 5 million of the damn things.
Oh, and let me say something for the record. If I'm working for the BPRD...
I ain't going nowhere.
I am not leaving the office, man.
Yeah, I'll be sending the indestructible red guy out for shit. Thanks.
Right? That's like being a guy on Star Trek wearing a red shirt
part of the conversation.
So you're just going to hold it?
Yes. I always wondered if they just handed the guys in red shirts lightning rods before they stepped into the transporter. Here you go. What's this? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just put it on.
So, yeah, I mean...
I now feel like I missed it. I ran back for this conversation because I really wanted to be a part of it.
No, but think about it.
Well, no, the one thing I wanted to say, why the hell didn't she just burst in the flames as soon as all of the thousands of things started coming at them?
Well, because she didn't think of it at all.
I know why. But she can control the flames. She doesn't have to, like, burn the entire building. She could have just taken them out a few at a time.
If I was a human torch, I'd be walking around with a Glock instead.
Not to mention, again... As it was earlier stated as I was walking away, that is a note to self. Do not work for BPRD.
Never.
I have no powers. I will die.
Never. What's your headstone going to look like? Yeah. Here lies Adam, teeth ripped out by 4-inch fairies.
I was kind
of BPRD for 3 weeks solid.
I was kind of surprised at how graphic the Tooth Fairy thing was. Because more or less, they were eating people alive on screen. That's a PG-13
movie. Yeah, but they weren't showing a lot of it. They were just showing people kind of nibbling on...
They showed some rough stuff, and it all happened very, very quickly. There's a scene when the first agent goes down where a fairy actually does rip a tooth out and does like this little war cry above the guy.
And there's a scene where one of the guys drops and is being eaten, you shows him, you know, full body or whatever as they're swarming him, and Hellboy turns around and he turns back to him, and like part of him is skeleton now.
Right, and Hellboy he just kind of goes, damn.
I liked him.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, in the first movie, he was very obviously upset when his buddies got axed. You know, this movie's like, oh, damn, there's another one. I'm gonna have to break in a whole new sidekick.
What happened to the liaison from the first movie?
Apparently, we got two lines of dialogue that explained his entire fate.
We did.
We got two lines of dialogue.
I missed it. Hellboy sent him away because he had a thing for Liz.
Right. Sent him to Antarctica. So off camera,
I mentioned them saying something about Antarctica, but I didn't pick up what it was.
Exiled to Siberia.
Siberia. Right.
And then somebody made a joke about Antarctica next or something like that.
Right, something like that.
I do remember hearing something about that.
But the deal is, again, this doesn't fit. At the end of the first Hellboy movie, he had bonded with that guy who was there to look out for him, and it's like, you're a good kid, and it's going to be good having you around. And then between movies, off camera, that's when he and Liz fall in love. claim their love for each other. Apparently, he gets her pregnant during that period of time. And oh yeah, his new best.
Apparently, that
I need an adult.
Apparently, that actor had better things to do than Hellboy 2.
Just like show me where the bad Adam touched you. Show us on the doll.
So yeah, I there was just a lot wrong with it, and I'm kind of disappointed.
As am I.
Now, you three have all read Hellboy. How much of that series you've read? Because that's been a lot of books, right?
Yeah, I've read everything but the thing in my hand. Actually, I've only read the first arc.
It's a short sentence.
No. Everything but the first arc?
No, I've only read the first arc.
Oh, you've only read the first arc.
I bought the fancy hardcover when it came out, which is sweet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've read quite a few of them and some of the BPRD stuff. And that's why, I was kind of, when Wink gets his comeuppance or drag overance in the movie, that's way out of character for Hellboy,
Yeah, Hellboy does not engage in cold-blooded murder of people or monsters, and that's something that he does in Hellboy 2. When the big evil troll guy, Wink, shoots his little He-Man retractable fist at him and he gets caught, Hellboy's just like, wow, sucks to be you, and lets him die.
I was kind of surprised at that, too. I was expecting he was, going to get caught in it or something, and it would be like, oh, he can't get his hand out, and Hellboy leaves, but he actually gets eaten completely.
And that's the thing. I was expecting Hellboy to do one of those, because they actually had that, cute little sequence where they're bitching at each other and they can't understand each other. And it's like, well, you knocked out my tooth. Well, you screwed up my hand. And then, 30 seconds later, Wink is ground up into Wink patties. And
special sauce lettuce cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And I was expecting him to pick up something and jam it in between the rollers or
break
you
the
just
chain.
Stay here and give a
always
little bit
expect
of...
him to pick something up and jam it.
But yeah, and that was woefully absent.
The evil elf man was pretty disappointed by the death of his troll guy.
Well, exactly, and apparently was so disappointed that he took the last remaining forest god that he was the protector of and threw
him in the middle of Manhattan.
And the odd thing, like you said about that, is when he's fighting the big guy that gets eaten up in the grinders, and then Elf Boy, who's apparently that was his buddy, so he's really mad at him, so mad that he'll stop on the roof and have a conversation with him about it. And during that conversation, he makes him feel bad for thinking about killing the forest elemental. And he actually pauses about that before killing it, but he didn't give a shit that he had let the frog guy or whatever get eaten.
Frog guy.
Before he let the practical effect get ground up by the other
practical
effect.
So that does seem kind of...
I think what it came down to was the elemental didn't really... He was out of his element and didn't really know what he was doing,
Well, of course, that's elementary.
Well, New Jersey is out of everybody's element.
Well, that could have actually been a lie.
He was only doing what was natural to him as a forest element, really.
Well, and that whole thing may have been a great big old nasty lie, because the first thing the forest elemental does, once he gets his head blown off, is put out spores.
Yeah.
Oh, and before I forget, buddy of mine at work, who also I argue incessantly about movies with, pointed out that the next logical step for this series, should they be able to convince somebody to let them make another one, would be to do Baba Yaga.
Watch your mouth.
What's
Baba Yaga?
Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga.
Didn't we just do a Fables show?
Well, Baba Yaga appears all over. She's a prolific old bat. She's the one that she can fly around in her cauldron, and she has a house on chicken legs.
On chicken legs, yeah.
And she is a stealer of children, and the ghost of Rasputin actually convinces her to attack Hellboy or something. Anyway, but she's a stealer of children. What's Hellboy about to have?
Kids.
Babies. Yes. Yep.
I don't think we're going to get the Bubba Canoosh or whatever. I think
Bubba Canoosh?
I think Hellboy 2 is the end of Hellboy.
No, it felt like all of the movie felt like set up for Hellboy 3.
Yeah,
well,
but
after these sales.
Very serialized. this was the second act.
The bull is getting ready to go do The Hobbit, though. And this isn't going to make very much money, and The Hobbit will make
bajillion. But The Hobbit's going to take them 8 years to do. Yeah.
Right,
so,
which is why there won't be a movie
for a long time.
he won't even remember he read the comic by the time he gets finished with that.
I realize we're kind of jumping all over the place, so I don't feel bad at all about jumping into another place.
Hey, I think they're just happy we're actually talking about the movie we said we were going to talk about.
I think so. How about at the beginning of the movie with little kid Hellboy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is pretty cool. Mignola has actually done little kid Hellboy stories, which are
Pancakes.
All...
Yeah, Pam cakes that are really, really good. I got to tell you, man, when it's Christmas Eve in 1955 and Baby Hellboy is watching Howdy Doody and doing all that kind of stuff. And
he's a real boy.
And they start talking about Santa Claus. And I began thinking, how cool would it be? I mean, this is BPRD and they deal with supernatural stuff all the time. Why wouldn't Santa Claus wind up showing up? And I was fully expecting Santa Claus to show up and instead got a weak Lord of the Rings redux as reenacted by wooden soldiers. That was a little disappointing for me. I wanted Santa Claus.
Well, we all want Santa Claus.
Well, I was actually sitting two down from Trey, and we were trying to, you know, kind of, you know,
because,
talk over
because
people.
You guys are manly men and can't sit next to each other in the theater.
We went with a group of people, and they managed to line up right between us.
Yeah.
And he, like, leans out and he goes, Santa Claus! I'm like, what the...
Shut up, I'm watching a movie!
Well, no, I couldn't figure out. I was like, did he want Santa Claus? Did Santa Claus appear? Did I miss it? What's going on? And then, you know, they started up with...
I was just saying, I couldn't contain my joy.
Santa! Santa Claus!
Make me believe!
And, you know, what was missing from this movie, as Trey pointed out yesterday, Pam cakes,
which is a classic Hellboy story in which he's a little boy and he is on an army base and there is a general. He's like, it's time to eat. And Hellboy's like, I don't want to eat. And the general is like, you're going to eat now. Bam. And slams down a big chick-a-pay. Winds up slamming down a big plate of pancakes in front of Hellboy. And he's like, eat them. And he's like, I don't want to eat them. What are they? He says, they're pancakes. And Hellboy, he's a little kid. He mispronounces them. He's like, I don't want pancakes. I hate pancakes. And the general gets a spoon and don't. Shoves it in his mouth, and he's like, hey, I love him! And the camera basically switches down to hell, and there are two demons in hell going, oh, he has tasted the Pam cakes. Truly, he is lost to us now.
And it's a great little panel. Actually, I think that appeared on the extras of the Hellboy disc.
Did it really?
I think it did.
Very nice. And in the first Hellboy movie, when he has brought a big plate of pancakes, if you listen closely, he actually does refer to them as pancakes.
I do remember that.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Sean watched Hellboys out of order.
I did. I watched two, and then I watched one. Over.
What did you think about one?
I really liked one, but I really love like the whole Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Well, and it is a theme.
I love people beating up Nazis. I love people beating up Nazis.
Everybody loves to beat up Nazis.
I'd have been so much better if you just would have left it. I love Nazis.
Well, dude.
Nazi Germany.
Just edit that, Adam.
I'm with Sean on this one. I love stories about Nazis and World War II.
Nazis are the ultimate real world supervillains.
They are.
They've got great costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Like Nazis or hate Nazis. They had some freaking style, dude.
I mean,
and
they knew
the guy
that
with the blades on his arm, Nazi costume was the bomb. And they wound up putting him in this weird onesie thing with goggles on it that didn't look so good. Yeah. But his Nazi costume, that was the shit, dude. Awesome.
I don't love Nazis. I love people beating up Nazis and stories about
people
Nazis.
Beating
Nazis.
We don't think you're Nazi.
Okay, good.
Meine Frau.
Nazis. But yeah, the first one was a much more complete thought, and they still didn't follow the comics, but they followed them a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the art direction was probably a little closer to Mignola's vision in the first one as well. I mean, that whole Hand of Darkness thing when they're on the Isle of whatever off Scotland, you know, that's cribbed right off of the page. They did a really good job there. And the second one, I think, was probably a lot more the hand of Del Toro. And who knows, you know, if he feels like after doing The Hobbit, and assuming that I haven't assassinated him by then.
Don't say that out loud. You've got witnesses.
I mean,
now.
I love Del Toro. He's a great guy. And if he fucks up The Hobbit, I'll look for you.
I'll find you.
But anyway.
And suddenly we're creepier than normal.
That's saying
but
a lot,
if he decides
there,
he wants to do Hellboy 3, he'll damn well be able to do Hellboy 3. And they can just keep piling the makeup on Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Well, he's not doing anything else.
Actually, I checked his rap sheet out in preparation for this show on IMDb. He's doing a lot. A lot of it's flat voice work. Yeah. He's doing voice work for a lot of stuff.
He does have
but
good
as
voice.
Long as anybody anywhere needs a big creepy looking dude who actually
Ron
has
Perlman
some acting chops, and they can't Brian get Clancy Brown, then Ron Perlman will be there.
I'm not going to lie. Him I really liked Beauty and the Beast when I was little. I loved that show. Like, him I wish I could find a creepy lion man in my sewer. Okay, yeah, I know. Totally gay. I don't care.
Wait, isn't she supposed to like that?
No.
I mean, Adam liked it, and that I'm makes sorry. Him gay.
I didn't like it. My mom used to watch it, and I never
and I just happened to be in the room.
I never understood
every
it.
Thursday at 7 o'clock.
While she was braiding my hair.
My mom never braided my hair. Friends of mine, Brandon.
Now that's gay.
So not what, there's anything wrong with that. What is it,
can you pin down something that you really enjoyed about the book that's completely absent from this movie or both movies?
Oh, easily.
I mean, something specific?
Easily.
Yeah, you go first. I'll pick up whatever you forget.
Pick up whatever you drop down.
Hellboy is frequently a man of few words, and you couldn't get him to shut up in this movie.
He's very chatty.
Art design, you know, I think they should have stayed with Mignola. Sorry about that. Again, they just made it a meaner Hellboy. I was actually reading some of the BPRD stuff last night. There's a very, and this is it speaks to that whole thing about not caring about killing these creatures. There's a one of the BPRD things where it's Abe Sapien versus Science, who's remembering Hellboy when Hellboy basically pulled him out of the tank. Like, it's enough. This is enough. You have tested him and prodded him and poked him. Enough. He's done. He's coming with me. These little flashes of gentleness are almost entirely absent from this one, and they were not absent from the first one.
Well, in the first one, it's like when he rescues a box of kitties.
Yeah.
It kind of shows that, but right. In the second movie, rather than taking the idea to mean that, you know, he is a protector and looks out for his fellow creatures, they took it to mean that he likes cats a lot.
A whole lot, right.
So, and
right.
It became sort of an in-joke rather than a peek into the character.
Now, see, I thought the first movie portrayed it as he likes cats a lot.
Well, and he does, and that's part of the book, but that is a way to describe how Hellboy feels about his fellow creatures on the planet. He cares about living things. As you say, he's pulling Abe Sapien out of that, you know, saying you guys have tested him and prodded him enough in the comics. And in the comics, he leaves the BPRD because they have a golem on hand that's working for
homunculus.
Them. Who, Roger. In order to keep that guy, that homunculus on the straight and narrow, they implant a bomb in his chest. And Hellboy basically says, that's fucked up. I'm not working for you guys anymore. And winds up leaving over it. All of these are ways to describe how Hellboy thinks the world should work. And the way, you know, what all these things are saying is you treat your fellow creatures well and you do good things. And in this movie, Hellboy had a moment's hesitation when he shot, you know, the last woodland god in the head.
Only because the elf boy put a little bug in his ear.
Only because the elf put a bug in his ear. And when the troll king dies, you know, when Winky dies, it's just like, oh, well. And it isn't even like it's boom, you're dead. It's like, you're going to die and I can save you right now. And instead, I'm just going to walk away and make a quip about
it. It's not
going to
be real pleasant either.
That's right.
Well, the cat thing, has anybody watched the Marvel DC guy on YouTube that does the I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC with action figures?
That's been a while.
I've seen it before.
He does one with Hellboy and Batman now.
Oh.
And the joke for that one is, I'm Hellboy, I like cats. And Batman's like, yeah, I do too. Is that catnip in your utility belt? Never mind.
Very nice. Very nice.
I have not seen any of those.
You haven't seen any of
them? No.
They're hilarious.
Oh, you don't have the internet.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of lame.
You have high speed internet at the
Trey
we
has
do,
internet.
But I'm always,
you will open.
I'll open up a couple before you.
Trey will
sweet.
Open your world.
Okay, all right.
But
whoa,
you know, also in the books, you know, one of the things that has made Hellboy endure is that they are actually able to tap in to real live, honest to God, fairy tales and myths.
I was going
to
mention that, and I forgot.
And it seemed kind of disappointing. I was disappointed that rather than tap into a pre-existing myth, like they did with the first one, Rasputin wasn't a myth, he was a real guy, but, you know, kind of a mythic figure. But,
his stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than tapping into that kind of stuff, they manufactured something new. Entirely, just made up a story,
right?
And it seemed kind of unnecessary.
It's a story that's occurred before
in Lord of the Rings for the first 5 minutes of the movie. Yeah, that occurred before. I'm with you,
my precious.
Now with the whole man versus nature and elves.
Yeah, I mean, that's man happened. Versus nature and elves. By the way, can we start calling the bad guy in that movie the vampire Legolas?
I prefer the vampire Legos.
Man, this is something I still got a problem with. Apparently, all you got to do to make a fish man fall in love with you is like be in the same room with him, because he was ready to sell out everybody he'd ever known and the world at large for this chick that he'd been in a room with for like
speaking,
5 minutes.
Well, speaking from personal experience, that's pretty much all it takes with me.
I don't think he
hasn't gotten laid
many
since
women.
1866.
I'm going to try that. I think I love you. Let me touch you. I'm going to see how well that goes over in the real world.
Again, from personal experience, well, no, so
let me
not
touch
too
you.
Well.
Let me touch you to find out if I love you.
It didn't work. It didn't work in the movie. And it works so much better in the book.
There's so many other Hellboy stories that they could have done in a movie. Why you have to create a whole new story to
I don't understand. Now, I was happy to see Klaus come on board in this movie. Klaus is a good character in the book, and they ran dangerously close to keeping him very one-dimensional. It looked like he was just going to be the German guy that gives everybody orders and that everybody hates.
The goldfish, right?
Well, they did.
I kept expecting him to try to steal Selma Blair from Hellboy.
Well, they did turn him into a stereotype. I mean, they right out stereotyped his ass on up.
So what's the end result on the Hellboy poll here?
I'm going to give it a solid C minus, maybe. It's worth seeing, and if you want to see another one that, you know, they can maybe do right, you need to go see it. And but if you really want to see a Hellboy movie, go buy the first one.
Try.
I'm going
to... Do you have more to say, Jack? Because you said, before Brian was like,
Trey! Next!
Cutting off our
I'll shut up now.
I'm going to kind of agree with Jack. I'd probably give it a little bit higher of a rating. I'd probably give it like a B minus. I think that our intimate knowledge of the comic book...
I like the pauses.
I was waiting for the jokes to come rolling in.
You told me not
how intimate
to.
Are you getting with these comic books?
I'm
or
glad
with Jack.
I've noticed glad the stack bad. In the bathroom. Is that what those are for?
The movie's about a B. I think because we know the comics.
It's about a giant red demon.
The movie diverging from the comics hurt us a little more than it would hurt the average moviegoer. However, the movie will be far more well-received on video than it is in the theater, same as the first one. It'd be a great video buy or a rental, but it's not going to show you anything on the big screen that you haven't seen before. So.
And I'm sure they're going to have, you know, it's one of Del Toro's things. He likes putting plenty of supplemental material in, so I'm sure the DVD will be worth buying.
Yeah.
So,
Do you think you'll have a director's cut that'll possibly you'll enjoy more?
Possibly. I actually saw, Del Toro was on Jimmy Kimmel about a week ago, and they asked him, well, when did you finish the movie? And he's like, last night, about 10 o'clock. So I don't think Del Toro was exactly, I think he was kind of confused himself. And, well, seriously, you know, just had it, probably had a wealth of material and just was having a little bit of a problem assembling it at the end.
Which is odd given the timing. I mean, if he's not finished with it, it's not like they picked a really good release date. Because it's smack dab between two of the biggest movies you're going to have this year.
Well, yeah. I think...
Wouldn't you rather have it way in front of or way behind those two?
Well, I think they probably just said, well, you know what? This is going to be a line of comic book fan movies, and you're going to be able to see them bang, bang, bang. You know, Iron Man, Hulk, Hancock, Hellboy, Batman. The same audience is going to be shared, and they want them to keep coming back to the theater.
I mean, I'd like
providing,
to be...
Are
I'd
you
like
saying
to,
they're providing the movie for people who couldn't get into Hancock because it sold out?
Yeah, pretty much.
I gotcha.
I mean, like the you know, when they were releasing Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, mm-hmm. you know, a month apart, and when they ran out of Lord of the Rings stuff, then they fill that slot with Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
You know, they're trying to be complementary with different yet similar properties.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to be the meat in a Will Smith Christian Bale sandwich, but I'm not sure that was as good a choice for a Hellboy.
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
What do you think, Miss Reynolds?
I'd give it a solid C. I mean, it was visually, like, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty, but plot wise, it really
was. So you're saying watch
there.
It with the volume off?
Yes.
To your own dialogue.
What I do when
I'm
in the
theater.
Better,
except for the whole singing.
You just described like every date I had between the ages of 21 and 27, man.
Watching a movie with the sound off?
Pretty and confusing, yeah. You know, I'd be sitting at Goat Feathers across the table from somebody going,
That's every date I've ever had.
Making up my own dialogue.
It'd be so much cooler.
She's talking about something I care about.
I swear she's talking about Batman right now.
What do you think, Commander Adama?
Commander.
Yeah, that's whatever happened to Benicio del Toro?
He flipped his eyes finally for real.
Sink into the back
I
of
think
his
the gun backfired and his head got cut off by some little ninja chick.
I give it a C+. I give the first one a C+ too, though. As far as things go, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you're a freaking heretic.
Yeah. To me, I mean, not having read any of the Hellboy stuff, I thought this one was kind of.
Wait a minute.
Except for the Apes.
What do you guys talk about every week?
Not Hellboy.
Yeah.
Comic books. Read them, man. I'll bring them to you.
Oh well, he talks about comic books like Foreskin that it just had out there that nobody needs.
There's Wolfskin.
There's no genitalia.
Nobody got their peanut cut off in a Hellboy book ever. Adam's not interested.
They did make a joke about him, you know, the old tip of the tail joke, though.
No, they did. Yeah. But it didn't get cut off, so why would you care?
It's true.
Ouch.
No, C+. I thought it was engaging the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, at no point during that movie did I go, God, will this be over so I can go do nothing or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy being in theater. Looking back now, as I told Trey, I'll go see it twice to balance it out. Especially since the numbers are so distant, I'm not going to go see it again.
I was going to say, your $7 will really help.
Why don't you just give me that $7 to buy the pizza with?
Yeah. I'm not going to go see it again, as I thought I may. I was looking more forward to it based on the commercials and than I thought it was.
I think the commercials with the Agder Studio guy and Chuck, I think those were twice as enjoyable as the actual movie.
Those were funny commercials.
Of course, but I do just love me some inside the Actors Studio.
As far as...
I love me some behind. That's a completely different movie. Also a great series, though.
I have the first one on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I really just bought it so I could watch it before watching the second one.
It is good.
But I'm at this point now where I would say that I'm not going to buy the second one on DVD,
mm-hmm.
but because I own the first one, there's a good chance I might actually buy the second one.
Just to have the complete set.
So instead, I may just go ahead and say I do have the first one for sale if anyone's interested.
Wow!
Hey, if you just make it a price real quick and give it away. I just thought it was all right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess that's C range that everybody else is throwing out.
I didn't
feel like I wasted my, you know, $10 or whatever being in the theater, but I never need to see it again either.
Yeah.
Sadly,
I gotta agree with you on that.
Yeah, I don't see myself watching the first one again either. That's kind of where I stand.
As far as the geek movies go this summer, it's probably actually the least.
I thought it's better than Hancock.
I did. You know, I'm probably actually not going to go see Hancock based on what I've heard.
Based on my review last week.
Well, not only your review, but just what's coming back is that movie is a little, and this is coming from me, okay, from me. The movie's just a little more tasteless than anything I want to see.
What are there? Midgets raping rhinoceroses?
A man has his head physically crammed up somebody else's ass.
And then they show a guy running around with
running around with somebody else's head crammed up his ass. Now look, man, I'm sure that a bunch of writers sat around and thought that was the funniest thing in the world, you know, over their 3-martini lunch when they were writing it down on paper.
Martini,
you think somebody would have had the good sense along the way to go, oh, you can't put that on TV. You know, you can't put that on a screen, man. But
I'm not surprised that somebody put that in a movie. I'm surprised they put it in a Will Smith movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'll say about
it. Yeah, I was just thinking that,
he
actually.
He was threatening it throughout the entire movie, so it was bound to happen.
Well, and also, you know, the other thing is the concept, which is like kind of a down-and-out superhero that's getting his shit back together. Haven't we kind of seen that already? Haven't we seen that done well in other places, both in movies and in comics?
Well, most of the people that are going to go see Hancock don't read comics, though.
Well, true enough, but I've seen it. Man, believe
it's,
me.
It's been
if
it's
Will
been
Smith
in a lot
finds
of
himself
movies.
In a position where he needs $8 to make his rent, I'll go watch it. But until that day comes, I'll hold off.
I'm not really disagreeing with you. I'm a big fan of Big Willie.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm not. I don't have any interest in seeing it either. It's not getting the. Mm-hmm. Even before Adam said his piece on it, the reviews that I were reading from critics and from other people, it just didn't have.
Yeah.
It's not something I need to run out to go see.
Let me point this out. How many people of the five of us here went and saw Hancock? One.
Yeah.
How many people here saw Hellboy?
All of us. Yes. That's more of a comic book nerd thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I did get to see Hellboy for free, so.
Like, how many in the room saw Hulk?
I didn't.
I still want to. Yeah. That movie really is on my
list.
I've
got connections.
I missed your answer. Actually, Rachel.
No, I did not. I have not
just,
seen
just the
Hulk.
Three of us, the triangle here.
Yeah.
And what did you, have you guys done a review of that?
We didn't do it on the show because I was the only person that watched it, but I wrote an article for the site that nobody's read.
Yeah, check out Brian's article on the Hulk movie.
And we're
can we end our show so I can hit stop?
Sure, if you want.
Go ahead. All you got to do is hit stop.